So the question is, do you know your place? Now, sometimes a person can use that term inappropriately, right? Hey, that's not your place to do that. You feel put in your place by somebody else. I want to talk to you about your place today, because each one of you as you came in was given a piece of the puzzle, because I believe indeed you are a part of God's plan. God has something He wants to accomplish with you. But the interesting thing is what God wants to accomplish in and through you is done by connecting you to other people. Connecting you to Him and to others is how He gets His work done. And so today I want to talk about this idea of being connected. Because in one sense, we're going to see today, you are already connected. By the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into the body of Christ when we put our faith in Him, and we are connected one with another. And yet there are responses that we can make to Him and to each other that will allow us to experience the connection at a different level. And so you'll hear me saying, hey, you are connected, now get connected. Because there's choices we make to pull away or to pull together. And in fact, in relationships, we are constantly being faced with those choices. And I speak to singles as well as to marrieds. I speak to children as well as to parents and to grandparents. The choices of relationship are continually bringing you to a place where you're either connecting or disconnecting. But it's a choice of your heart. And God wants you connected. So I'm going to read to you here this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to move through some familiar passages today. I'm not going to expound on everything that's in these. I'm going to just try and open up one key thought for you this morning. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You are graced by Christ's gift with a gift. And he says in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Praise God. And equipping for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. Understand that? He says he gives pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. Pastors have a job to do, and so does every other believer. We're all a part of the same family. We've got a responsibility. And when you do that, he says, we're to be working until we all attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, okay, if this happens right, here's what happens. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves or carried about by every wind of doctrine or by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are, look what he says there, to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together, how? By that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body. The proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So I've got one thing to say to you today. And I think it's an astounding thought to think about. That every believer is divinely designed to help their church grow. Every believer is divinely designed to help their church grow. And so you and I are facing a question today as we go through this. Am I cooperating with God's plan for me? Because God has a plan for you. God has a place for you. I believe if you're here this morning, you're here by divine appointment. You didn't get here accidentally. You know, I rarely have people come into this church accidentally. You know, it's an intentional choice to come through those doors. God brought you here this morning to hear what He has to say. So how can you grow the church family? You think that the church is as vital as you are? Is it a scary thought to say that the church will not be any stronger than you are? But you recognize that, the whole body is interdependent upon each other? That's the way the organism is. A church is not an organization. We do have some organizing in it, but it is an organism. It is a living, functioning body, and it is sustained by the interdependent function of the multifunctional parts. It's something that needs you to be a part of it. And so the health of the church is a reflection of the health of each member. And I don't know about you, but that sobers me. That my spiritual health can be affecting other people's spiritual health. And I think that ought to be something that just motivates us to say, man, I want to go for it with Jesus. I want to get after it because I don't want to be holding somebody else back because I was a laggard. All right? Because I was lollygagging around when I should have been going for it. And some of you are such an encouragement to me because I see you doing what you can do. And it makes a difference. And so it's an interesting thing here. He says that to each one grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Friends, you have a place in God's family. You have a place. That you're designed with a unique and a particular shape, and if you're not there, here's what it looks like on a Sunday morning. You know? And I look across this congregation and somebody say, hey, it's looking pretty full this morning. And I can tell you the families that are not here. I can tell you the people that we are missing. And when they're not here, there's a relational connection that's not going to happen with somebody else. And it's an interesting thing. When God brings somebody, it's for you to be here to connect with them because God's got a plan for us every time we get together that we would be connecting, that we would be encouraging. Because there's one body with many members. All right? And as he says over there in Romans 12, he says that in Romans 12 verse 4, he says, for just as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. That's an interesting thing. I find most of us are comfortable with the idea of saying that we're connected to Christ. You know, yeah, amen, that's good. I like being connected to Christ. You know, and some of you are comfortable with the thought of saying, you know, I'm connected to the church. He says, I belong, I've got a place, I belong to a family. But he takes it a step further here. He says you are individually members of each other. You are individually members of each other. Not just individually members of the whole, that's true, but he says of each other, that we need each other. Remember that spot over there in 1 Corinthians 12? The eye cannot say to the hand, what? I have no need of you. So go ahead, turn to the person next to you, and you tell them the truth. I need you. Go ahead, tell them. And you need me. And some of you started that off with a bad attitude. Now let's try that again. You know? I need you. And you need me. That is the spiritual truth, friends. And some of you feel funny even saying that to somebody else. I've talked to believers and say, you know, I've got Christ. I don't need anybody else. That's not true according to the Word of God. Christ is all we need, but Christ is in every other member of the body. And when you say, I don't need the other member, you're saying, I don't need Christ. Is Christ in them? Then I need them. And friends, we need each other. That's a vital thing to understand. But here in Southern Oregon, we pride ourselves in our independence. Isn't that right? You guys knew what I was saying before I said it, didn't you? It's a part of our culture. And by the way, it's an unbiblical part of our culture. The Bible says we're to be interdependent, not independent. That we need each other. And so it's important for us to understand this, because what God gave you, He gave you to bless somebody else. We're going to talk more about that next week. We'll talk about being blessed, because you were blessed to be a blessing. But I'll save that one for next week. But 1 Corinthians 12:7, read this with me. Read it. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one, you're given something, what? For the rest of us. You've got something I need. You've got something that's going to bless this body. You belong here. Somebody said amen. Did anybody else say amen? Come on. You belong here. You have a place here. God has something He wants to accomplish. But understand this. The puzzle can't come together unless it gets out of the box. It's never assembled in a box, is it? No, you have to take it out of the box. And so one of the things I'm going to try and do this morning is I'm going to try and show you God's picture, so to speak. Do you understand this? You don't put a puzzle together without looking at the picture. Have you ever tried to do that? You have no idea what you're putting together. That's what a lot of people do. They come to the church and it's like, okay, I got my piece, man. Well, look at the book. It tells us what we're supposed to look like. One of the things you hear from me again and again and again is what? To love as Jesus loves. Because He said that's the greatest commandment. So if you believe Christ and love as He loves, you're going to begin looking like the picture that He wants us to be. But your loving actions connect with somebody else's loving actions to fulfill God's plan for you. That's how it works. And so you are uniquely designed to be you. And if you weren't you, you'd be a wasn't. Remember Dr. Seuss? He talked about that, right? You know, if you weren't you, you'd be a wasn't. But praise God, you're you, and nobody else can be the you that's you. You got a unique DNA. Go ahead, tell the person next to that. You got a unique DNA. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I am looking at a body full of uniqueness. But that's by design. We're all unique by design. You can say we're weird or particular. That's true too. That's even biblical. But peculiar is the word in the New Testament. King James, I think it is. But it's by design that God says, I want you to come together. And so you've got a shape. You belong to the body. And to understand how that connects is important. That you don't come on a Sunday morning and say, I don't need to touch anybody else. No, I need to come and touch as many people as God has for me, because who knows who He wants me connecting with. I see it Sunday after Sunday. I see it in the small groups. I see it when people meet during the week in their homes, is that people make connections and it changes them, because that's the way the body's designed, is each part is ministering to the other part. And so the important thing is to understand is that you're a piece, you have a place, all right? But that means that you have a part in God's plan. All right? That's your second sub-thought there. You have a part in God's plan. All right? Because He's saying here that for each one of us, there's something that He wants to accomplish in and through you. And so in that Romans passage, He'd said that we've got great gifts that differ. According to the grace given to us, He says, exercise it accordingly. He says, what you're wired to do, do it. Because if you don't, there's something that's not going to be done for this body. And there's something we won't become because you're not doing your part. That doesn't mean you can't ever stop doing a job. Okay, understand the difference there, friends. You know, there's tasks, and sometimes you shift from one task to another. God moves people around. That is okay. But when I read the Bible, there is no retirement in the body of Christ. There can be retirement in the American culture, and I would tell you this. I think one of the greatest blessings and opportunities of the church in America today is that there are people who are retired from the workplace who can now join the kingdom place. Who can now say, what am I going to do for 40 hours a week for the king? Because I've lived the rest of my life for myself. Now how do I live it out for the king? And so we've got a place, but we also have a part. He has a plan for you to do something with that unique design. You know, when you're trying to put together a puzzle, sometimes you get a piece and you look at it and you sit there and go, where does that fit? Isn't that right? You sit there and you try and look at it and you look at the big picture and you look at the other pieces. Isn't that how you do it? In fact, some of you will say this morning, I don't fit. I'm here to tell you something. I want to be subtle. I want to be gentle. You're lying. Okay? Because he made you. And he made you to fit. Now, I can agree. It can be frustrating trying all your different places that you might fit and not feeling like you can find where you fit. I understand that. You can tell me I'm frustrated. I don't feel like I fit or I haven't found my fit place. But don't say you don't have a place because you've been designed by the Creator to fit perfectly in a place. There's something that you can do well and it will change the rest of us. I think it's so cool when people do that. I think it's neat. You know, you took of communion this morning because someone who was faithful came in and took care of that. And in fact, the person who did it this morning had an emergency in their family and they had to leave. But they came and they took care of it and then they left. Is that faithful? That's faithful. It's not about them. It's about serving and finding out what you can do. And I didn't ask for permission, but I'm going to illustrate this a few ways this morning. And it includes people. Because I can remember what this whole property looked like when I came. Sorry for those of you who are old timers, but it did not look good. And some of you can agree with that, you know. The property grounds were not well maintained. It was looking terrible. And I had a little lady who volunteered and says, you know, I could help with that. And I still remember telling the guy, I don't know if I've ever told her this, I still remember telling the guy, I says, don't give her everything, I don't want to kill her. You know? Because the place was a mess, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm the person. And yet, when she stepped forward and began to do what she could do, and we gave her a little place, and that whole place was all of a sudden was blooming, I said, turn her loose! And pretty soon she had a team of about 18 different people working on the grounds. You know, it's so cool when somebody finds their place because this place physically has become more attractive because somebody did what they could do. Amen? You know what's cool? And then other people have found their place. I just heard this last week from somebody that's been a part of that team who no longer attends this church, who still signed up this year to come out and work on this place. Because the connection that they found in doing something in the body. That's what it's about, is to find your place. Because look how it's put here. That this understanding that you've got a part to play, and it's going to make a difference in God's plan. Look how it's put here in Ephesians 4. Now, I know this is a lot of reading, but read it with me. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Now stop right there. We are fitted and held together by that which some of the joints supply would actually be the accurate statement of how church functions. What we need is every joint supplying, because what I'm telling you here this morning is something that you guys already understand physically very well. At least anybody that's over 40. If every joint is not supplying, are you with me yet? You can't do all you want to do anymore, can you? Now, the whole body suffers. That's 1 Corinthians 12:26. The whole body suffers when the joints don't supply. He says, so it's according to the proper working of each individual part. Every joint, each part. Do you get the idea that the Holy Spirit wants you to know that your part matters? He does. And so look, He says, according to proper working, that, by the way, is the empowering. I can't go into all the details, but that's what he's really talking about, is that indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that you let the Holy Spirit flow through you in your giftedness, in your personality, with your abilities, with your time, with your experiences, and it changes this family. It causes what? The growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Read that again. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Hear this. Again, I'm saying it. Every believer is divinely designed to help the church grow. When you do what you can do, we'll become what He's designed us to be. And not before that. Every person makes a difference. I am so amazed as a pastor when I look around and I see families, and sometimes, you know, a family's been gone and God brings them back, and it's like, oh man, we were missing that part. Something wasn't happening that used to happen. And so you change us. But you know, when you open up a jigsaw puzzle, have you ever noticed, how many of you here do jigsaw puzzles? Some of you really, wow, okay, there's a bunch of you like that. Alright? But when you open up a jigsaw puzzle, have you ever noticed that you never pull out a baggie that says extra pieces? Don't exist, does it? Now there have been some times when you got done, you wished you had that baggie, isn't that right? Okay? But there are no extra pieces. Every single piece matters. You, my friends, matter. You matter. You matter to the King, and you matter to the kingdom. You matter to the family. It's how we get by. And friends, I don't say this to shame you. I say this to encourage you. Get into the program, because God has something He wants to do for somebody else in this body, and it's not going to happen until you get out of the box, get out of the pew, and do what He's wired you to do. And some of you say, well, I don't know what that is. All right? It's okay. What makes you smile? What is it that when you do it, there's two or three things that when you do it, this really brings you joy. Again and again, I have found that to be a place where a person can thrive as a servant. See? Sometimes people go, I need to figure out exactly what my spiritual gift is. No, you need to figure out exactly where you can find yourself enjoying serving Jesus, and you'll probably figure out down the road, oh, that was my gift. I just didn't know it. You know, I was teaching long before I understood I had the gift of teaching. In fact, I can still remember, I've told some of you this story before, but I can still remember, I went to Bible college. I had taught from about the time I was 16, and I began pastoring in Nevada with another guy. I was getting mentored under this guy, and he, Charles Holgate, and he had his degree in Hebrew and Greek, and he taught with great eloquence about the Hebrew and the Greek. And when he got done teaching, I'd been there a couple of months, and I went, you know, I got some gifts, but if that's what teaching is, I'm not a teacher. And I can still remember somebody else in the body, this is you, came alongside and said, James, you've got the gift of teaching. You just don't have his gift of teaching. See, your teaching is going to have a different effect. It's going to be a different work. That's all in 1 Corinthians 12 too. But somebody had to remind me, hey, I've got a gift. But when you compare your gift to somebody else's, you say, oh, I don't got that. That's right. You don't got that because every piece is unique. Don't expect to look like anybody else, but just find what you can do and do it, and don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can do. Somebody say amen to that. Because there's stuff that I know some of you are doing, and you're doing what you can, and it is making a difference. And I'm so thankful for that. And it just changes the body when somebody steps up and sees to it that other people get food. It changes the body when somebody steps up and sees to it that right now there's parents able to sit here and relax because somebody else is pouring their heart into their children. Isn't that right? See, children's ministry isn't a babysitting job. It's a sharing of the very life of Christ with someone at a precious age to draw them into the kingdom. And at the same time as they're doing that, it's freeing up their parent to focus on Christ themselves. And so the person who's teaching is making a radical difference in the child and in the parent at the same time. That's a vital ministry. Friends, what you do matters. I want to encourage you to connect by serving. Connect by serving. Connect by join into a small group and you'll find a whole different level of relationship. And you'll find a whole different level of serving. And also in a small group, you can find out by working with a few other people, you'll find out what you can do. You'll find out how you fit. You'll find out what works together. But he says here, in that verse in Ephesians 4, he says, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When every believer fulfills their divine design, it helps the church to grow. There's one last thing I want you to understand, I can't possibly expose all of this morning, but you are a person with God's potential. Do you understand? If God designed you, He gave you a gift, and God placed you in the family with a part to play in that family, and then He has placed His Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Is that awesome? He dwells in you, that if the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that He's going to give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who indwells you. Then you have incredible, unlimited potential. You have not tapped it. I guarantee it. I haven't tapped my potential. Because the potential is only limited by who? By the fullness of Christ. And the more you and I open up to let the fullness of Christ flow through, to let the fruit of the Spirit be displayed in our lives, the potential influence and change that could come about in one church family, in one biological family, is incredible. Proverbs 18:9 says something that's really blunt, and that's why I like it. It says, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. You don't do your best, he says, you're actually tearing it down. You get after it. Do what you can do, friends. You are not junk. You're a servant. You've been designed for a purpose. The problems of a church go unresolved because potential is unused. What could you do if you would do it? Look what 1 Peter 4:10 says. Read it with me. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. Stop right there. Whoa. As each one has received a special gift, what's he say? Employ it. Don't hide it in your pocket. Don't bury your talent in the ground. You've received a special gift. Employ it. Now let's keep going. In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You're a steward of what you've been given. You're a steward. He has gifted you. He says, now you're going to manage that. That's what a steward does. Manage that resource for His glory. It's the grace that God has given you. I didn't deserve the gifts I've got. You don't deserve the gifts you've got. But God gave them to you to use in the kingdom. Now read this. Whoever speaks is to do so as the one who is speaking the utterances of God. And whoever serves is to do so as the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Friends, that's potential. By the strength which God supplies. There's no limit to that strength. So that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen? The glory and dominion belong to Him. He said, you want to bring glory to Christ? Then do what He's designed you to do. You have potential, friends. Employ it. You can make a difference. And you will make a difference when you do what you can do. And I know some of you, I know this. You say it. I can't see it. All right, just stay with me just a second longer. Potential is not what is. Potential is not what you can see. It's what could be. You see, where some just saw a baby in a basket, God saw a deliverer named Moses. You see, where some saw a young boy, eighth in the family, God saw a mighty warrior and a king named David. You see, where some would just see a barren old woman past the prime of her life, God saw an Elizabeth and says, I'm going to make her the mother of the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist. Friends, you can't see it. You don't have to. You shouldn't be able to. Your potential is beyond where you are. Don't expect to be able to see it. Just give yourself to the one who gave you potential and let him do something in you. And even if you've blown it, you know, some saw a young man named John Mark and he'd messed up and he'd quit on the missionary journey. But God saw a man who would author the biography of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. That's past. Your potential is your future. And you can make it starting today. Just get up and go. It's not what you see. It's not your IQ. It's not your bank account. Potential is the future. If you'll say yes to God, your whole future can change. I don't care where it's been, it can change. And for some of you, the very first thing you need to do is say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've never said, yes, yes, I'll let you be my Savior. Yes, I need you as my Savior. Yes, I need to be clean. The rest of this makes no sense because you can't serve the Savior until you're His son. He doesn't accept rebels as servants. He accepts sons. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. So receive Him, become a son, and then step into service. Two things I want you to remember. Find your place. Fill your place. Say it with me. Find your place. Fill your place. Is that clear? All right. How do you find your place? You don't know how to find it? We got some help. 100 different categories and a little form called your service survey. You can pick it up on the way out. You look through that, you're still confused, or you look through that and you want some more help, we will do an interview with you. Talk about your shape, because you actually have a very unique shape. I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your spirit. God has shaped you uniquely as a spirit, and your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality, your experiences make up your shape. We'll help you see where you fit. So if you don't know where you fit, even if you look at this, it's still okay. But you find your place, and then you fill your place. I'm not saying you get the task done. I'm saying you do it to the glory of God. Because that's who it's for. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every believer that You have brought here this morning. I thank You for every believer and even unbeliever that's listening to this word. And I ask that You would cause us to submit ourselves to You as children. That we'd accept You as Father. Your Son as Savior, and we'd accept our assignment to be a servant. Jesus, thank You that You washed feet. There was nothing that You were not willing to do that I could spend eternity with You. And I thank You You did that for every one of us. I thank You You called me into this kingdom, and I choose today to serve You for Your glory. And I ask this morning that You would make that true of this family, that we would find our place and we'd fill our place. And what happens for this community would be different. Because the light of Christ would shine forth boldly from this place. God, surprise us and fill us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.